I think we really don't need to say too much this morning, because the brothers, through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, has already spoken everything. Well, I shouldn't say everything, but essential content of 1 John and even 2 John. It is not the doctrine. It is not the knowledge. It is the spirit of life. You remember, in 1 John, many times, or at least two or three times, how do we know? How do we know this? By the Spirit that He has given us. Without the Spirit, even if you hear so many messages, it's not going to help you. And at the end, you will not know. You'll just have empty, dead knowledge which you cannot fulfill. So, what can we say, right? So all those who are attending this conference, even in Zoom, we need to digest this by prayer every day.
Amen.
Bringing the word to the Lord. This is why Paul says, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Right? You cannot just read the menu. It's no good. The menu is not going to satisfy you. Right? You may have a wonderful description. You can go to the Greek restaurant here. They have a beautiful, wonderful menu. But it won't satisfy you. Right? But even if you eat it and you have problem with your digestive system, also what you eat is not going to help you. You need to digest the food that you eat.
Amen.
This is why God created such a wonderful living person within all of us. Not just the outward, but even more intricate, you have the inward parts. And the spirit of man searches all the inward parts, which is your heart, hidden. You may say, I know my granddaughter, Jasmine. Okay, of course I know. But you know, I know and I don't know. I know how she looks like. I've seen her growing. But I don't know what she's thinking. Do you? But you're the father. You're the father. How come you don't know what she's thinking? Nobody knows. Because now it's the hidden part of the heart. Mysterious. Mysterious. Only God searches the inward parts of man. And the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart. The hidden parts. Right. So, don't just be superficial. Even knowing a person, it is not easy. But you know, when the Lord Jesus came, He knew what everybody was thinking. He knew what is in the heart of man. Sometimes I don't even know what is hidden in my heart. I thought, I'm okay. But then I found out, I'm not okay, I'm K.O. I'm knocked out by so many terrible things in my mind, in my desire, my heart, and making the wrong choice. My will is fallen. So the Lord has to renew our person. But the Lord renews it from the innermost part. This is why we need to know the Spirit. Born again. We are born again. But for many Christians, born again is just, oh, I'm saved. But it's not just being saved. You receive a new life of Christ, that is the Spirit. This is why Paul says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Don't think the Holy Spirit is separate from the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. The Lord Jesus and the Holy Anointing, they all have the same last name. The Anointing. The Lord is the Messiah in Hebrews, both even in Greek. It is the Anointed One. He's fully anointed. Even his birth, starting from his birth, the conception is not by the seed of man, but a conception of our Lord Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit. This is why the angel told Mary, the child that is in you shall be called a Holy One. Were you born holy? None of us is born holy. Remember, after sin entered into Adam, all have sinned. Now we inherit from Adam this terrible sinful nature. All have sinned, and death came in through sin, and all died. Do you know of anyone that cannot die? Oh, there is no such thing as Superman, okay? Right. No, we all die. But not just when you die. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we were dead in our sins and transgression. So are you dead or are you alive? I call it the real living dead. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, walking according to the spirit of rebellion and sinful and evil, according to the ruler in the spiritual realm, by nature, children of wrath, hopeless. And even Paul says, without hope in this world. People thought, oh, they have hope to get rich. But after you get rich, what happened to you? You die, and after you die, where do you go? But people don't think about that. Right? And don't think that evil is just the mafia and all this BLM, Antifa, and all these criminals. When the Lord Jesus came, he came to where? To his own people. Well, John chapter 1 says, the world was created by him, but the world didn't know him. Amazing. Right? Even your Mercedes know you, right? If some stranger comes, he reacts so terrible, you'll be so scared. But he knows you. He even knows me already. Amazing. But we don't know our Creator. We, the human being, supposed to be intelligent. But what happened? Because sin, when it comes in, if you eat of that tree, what did God say? You shall. Maybe you will die. Surely die. I don't know why death is so funny. Surely. It is really amazing. So the first thing that died is your spirit. Adam didn't fall dead right there. And this element of death spread into the soul of man, and then dwelling in the flesh of man. So you're already dead before you died physically. And then the worst death is the second death. That was just the first death. People thought after he died, everything is over. Sorry, that's not true. Because the Bible says the lake of fire is the second death. Where is it written? In the book of Revelation. The lake of fire is the second death. Goodness. Wow. Death is terrible. Death is really terrible. So remember, if you're alive, we continue in sin, you are a living dead. Dead in sin and trespasses. And who's ruling over you? The devil, the prince of darkness, the ruler in the air, ruling over the sons of disobedience. So don't think, oh, you're just doing something not right. But why are you doing that? Because somebody is ruling over you and telling you, do it. Do that. So that's why you did it. But we're not aware that it is somebody behind us that is telling us to do it. And that somebody is dwelling in you, in your flesh, called S-I-N. So Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, so if I do this, see, the things, the evil things that I did, it is not I who did it, but sin that dwells in me. What? So, don't think to live in sin is okay. We are so naive. We are really naive. Deceived. You know that serpent, meanwhile, became a dragon in Revelation chapter 12. The dragon. Not just a little serpent crawling on the earth. Now he's a dragon, breathing fire out of his nose. So fierce, waiting to devour, it says. Not just a lion, but a dragon. How do you like to face a dragon? You know, people thought dragon is very cute. Especially in China, they love dragon. Yes. Goodness. Would you like to have a dragon as your pet at home? He's not your pet. You will become his pet. So, we need a new life. You need to be born again, because in your first birth, born of the flesh, born of your parents, nothing good was brought forth. In Psalm, which Psalm? 51? Is it? What did David say when he confessed? I was born, conceived in sin, already in my mother's womb. Please, somebody find that verse and read it to us in a serious, fearful way.
Psalm 51, verse 5. Yeah. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity.
In iniquity, in sin.
And in sin, my mother conceived me.
Goodness. So when did you start sinning? When? Goodness. Maybe we never thought about that. But we were conceived, born already in sin. Sin already entered. In Romans chapter 5, right, 13 and 14, sin entered through one man's disobedience. Through Adam and Eve, Adam's disobedience, sin entered and death followed. This is serious. We read it, we know the doctrine, but that's it, the doctrine. You may even believe. Well, that's a nice doctrine. A nice doctrine. Why do you call it a nice doctrine? We say, amen, amen, that's right. But then you didn't care when you sinned. You're not remorseful. And some people even say, what is sin? There is no such thing as sin. But even we Christians, we sin and we hate it. This is why we're hypocrite. The Lord called the religious one, you hypocrite. Because you're sinful, but you act so holy. You are an actor. Yeah. And all the actors are hypocrites. Because that's what hypocrite means. The word. You're not that person, but you act as if you're that person. My, they are really good in their job.
Pretend.
They're pretending. When I was young, I heard a song, oh yes, I'm a great pretender. When I was a little boy there, I used to love those songs. Now I hate it. I don't want to be a great pretender, do you?
No.
And the greatest of all in religion are the scribes, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the elders. What about today in Christianity amongst us? Mm-hmm. You mean to say we don't have those pretenders? Are you one? Am I one? We're not real. We pretend to be someone we are not. This is not good. We need this wonderful life within us. And this life must be manifested. When the Lord was on this earth, He was very real. He's not pretending. Amen. Yeah, He's not pretending. He said everything that He is. He came from the bosom of the Father, and people says, what? You? Your father's Joseph. And you are a carpenter. A good one. Just like our brother there. He's good with his hand, right? I just found out yesterday that you're good with woodwork. Right. Right? The Lord did so many wonderful things, but they will not take it. They cannot. Why? Because although the Lord was light, in Him was light, and He is the light. Even John the Baptist says, No, I'm not that light, but he is the light that came into the world. But how come they didn't see it? Because John also said, men love darkness more than light. And this is the nature of sin within us. This is why we want to hide. Even the children, did you eat from that can of candies? The child said, no. No, I didn't. Then Vince will ask again, are you sure you didn't? I didn't. Who taught you children to lie? Huh? How did they learn to lie? Come on, you must have taught them. No. It is sin that is in us. We were born in sin already. So remember this. We're not talking about doctrine. And the scriptures already tell us everything. So life must be manifested.
Amen.
Sin must also be manifested and is manifested, except there's a problem. It's deceiver. It's deceiving. Satan is the darkness, the prince of darkness, but he appears as an angel of what?
Light.
Light. There is not one speck of light in this serpent. And yet he appears. He's an actor. He's a pretender. He's the greatest pretender. And he appears as an angel of light. And we, this people in darkness, were deceived by him because we have no love for the truth. This is what happened. Paul said it. Because we, the Christians, it's not just the unbelievers, we have no love for the truth. We love doctrines, yes. Oh, that's a good interpretation. Oh, that was a nice message. Right? But do you love the truth? If you do, you will practice it. But because they have no love for the truth, God gave them up to believe in a lie. This is what Paul wrote. Right. In Thessalonians epistle. So do you love the truth? Maybe you say yes. But then when you sin, what do? You hide yourself. What did John say in chapter 1? If you say, oh, I didn't know wrong, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. You deceive yourself. You lie, and the truth is not in you. This is worse than just lying. But then you're void of the truth. The truth is not in you. And then you claim your fellowship with God. Oh, God told me this and God told me that. Goodness. You sure God told you that? Are you hearing voices? Or is it really the anointing in you? Right. So, but if you confess, what does it mean to confess? How often have you confessed to God? You cannot hide things from God. It's foolishness to hide things from God. David, in Psalm 51, he confessed to God in a way nobody else could confess, that way. He went all the way to his mother's womb. Have you ever confessed that way back. Oh, Father, forgive me. I was born in sin in my mother's womb already. Have you ever confessed like that, Lynn? I don't think so, right? Have you? No. You think, I was born pretty cute. Everybody says I'm cute. Even my parents says I'm cute. And even you yourself think you're cute. But that's not what the scripture says. No. We are sinfully cute. This is the truth. That's why every child, nobody has to teach them how to lie, but they lie. That's the nature of the evil one. The Lord says in John chapter 8, Satan is a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. In Genesis 1, in the Garden of Eden, he already lied to man, and he is good at it. He's the father of it. And we all inherited in the flesh from him. This is why in John chapter 8, the Lord told the Jews, they say, Abraham is our father. The Lord says, no, the devil is your father. These are serious words. In our first birth, it's not the parents. They are, yes, your physical father, but the real father behind that first birth is the devil. Oh, you say, John, you're too much. Am I too much? Well, you're born again, so who now becomes your father? God. What love, John chapter 3 tells us, has the Father bestowed on us that we should be called children of God? Praise the Lord. Which father do you prefer? And which father do you look like? The first father in the first birth, or do you look like the second father in your rebirth? Which one do you like to look like? The first or the second? Second, of course. You made the right choice. You made the right choice. I want to be like my heavenly Father. You know, there's no religion that calls their God Father. Yeah? I've never heard people bowing down to Buddha and says, oh, Father. No. Nobody calls their God, because they're not real God, Father. And they have no relationship of love with their small G-O-D. Better turn it around, D-O-G. Because they are not God. How can a piece of wood be God? Okay. This is why the first commandment includes, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And don't make any carved images, whether human or dogs or animals, because you're going to worship them. I was in Bombay one time, strange enough. We got caught in the traffic. I told you the story already one time. And I thought, oh, there must be an accident in front. So we're waiting and waiting. And half an hour later, then the traffic all of a sudden is free. And lo and behold, the reason is that a cow was standing in the middle of the street. And no one should be telling the holy cow, go, 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 like you tell your Mercedes, stop, sit, go, right? How dare you say that to a holy cow? So when we went taxi, I told the driver jokingly, oh, you know that cow we eat the mistakes, it tastes very good. That's the truth. I'm not lying to him. I love steaks. What else can I say to him? Right. Well, people are in darkness. This is why the first thing that John mentioned about life of this wonderful God, the Father, first thing is God is light. God is light. All those who are worshiping idols are in darkness. Are in darkness. People worship the sun god. They worship the stars. So many, all kinds of things. You know, in India, right? The temple have all kinds of, I don't know, animals, creeping things and all that, right?
Snake god.
Oh, yeah. Man-made. Man-made. They're not even alive. At most, they should put a little cage there and put a bird in there. Like a zoo. But these are people in darkness. But then, okay, you say, I don't worship idols. But you know, you may be the greatest idol. Man made themselves to become God. They're atheists, but they make themselves God. The Roman emperors, they call themselves God. Nebuchadnezzar also made an image of himself and asked people at a certain time to bow down to him. Would you do that? Because you're going to be thrown into the furnace of fire. What would you prefer to do? To be burned, roasted in a furnace of fire, or bow down? What will be your choice? Timo. Oh, he dare not say, he couldn't make up his mind, but I understand. It's hard to make up your mind. Or be thrown into the lion's den, like Daniel. So, these are all in darkness. All in darkness. Right. And at the end, they end up worshiping the devil. Don't be like that. Don't be naive. We are deceived by the devil. Yeah. Going back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden, God made and gave man one commandment, like our brother shared, very simple, but there are two trees. A lot of people ask, why did God let that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why did God not take it away? That would remove the complication, right? Wouldn't you think so? So God must have made a mistake. But you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. The devil will tell God, of course you'll win, you're a God. Just one breath, and I will be gone. Just like Job. That's why I use the example of Job. It's a challenge. And you are in the center of that challenge. Who will win in your life? Marcus. Praise the Lord. In which side do you stand? In your daily living, you have to choose which side do you understand. Right. But men love darkness, and naturally in our flesh, sin dwells there. And if you walk according to the flesh, then all of these evil things will be manifested. Right. But if you choose the Lord, just like the Apostle John, praise the Lord. You'll be surprised the Lord will appear to you. You will hear him. And you can see him. You can even behold him. What is the difference between seeing and beholding? If I stand so far away, I can see our brother. Or I can see James, but I couldn't see very clearly what he was wearing. Even with my glasses, I cannot see. But I see something there, so colorful, right? So if I want to see more clearly, what should I do? Huh? So the closer I come, the more I behold him. Don't just believe in God from far away. Okay, Lord, I believe in you. But leave me alone, okay? I want to do my own thing. You just stay there. You will never know him that way. So if I want to know what James was wearing and what it is written there, oh, there is a Rubik's Cube there. Oh, my goodness. I didn't see that from there. And he says, positive. Positive. Wow, he is a positive man. So are you just seeing him from afar, or are you beholding him? If you want to behold him, you should come nearer to him. Enter into the holy place. Even you enter into the most holy place. Don't stay in the outer court. And don't stay outside of the outer court. That would be even much farther. So Hebrews says, come forward. Amen. Enter into the holy of holies. Into the holy place. But you have to be a priest to enter. You have to have your conscience cleansed. Your body washed with pure water. And put on the holy garment. Then you can enter in. And then you can even touch him. Can you touch somebody far away? Oh, let's shake hands.
I didn't feel your hand.
That is only during COVID-19 days. They don't shake hands, they bump. But if you want to touch him, you have to even come closer. Nearer our God to thee. You remember that song? How near are you to him? How close is your relationship with God? So if you want to know him, you have to come to him. And how often do you come to him? No wonder people say, I didn't hear him. If you're in that room and I'm here, you're in the kitchen, how can you hear the message? Or how can I hear you when you're talking? If I'm upstairs, my wife is downstairs, and she's calling me. I just heard some kind of a noise. I didn't know she was calling, and she's saying something. I said, what, what? I couldn't hear. So I have to get out of my room, go to the stairs. Then when I'm closer, then I can hear more clearly. So how is your relationship, your fellowship with the Father and with the Son? And if you cannot hear clearly and see clearly and touch Him and know what kind of a God we have, and Paul talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Goodness, he must really know Christ so well. Yeah. But how much do you know Christ? Oh, He's my Savior. Is that all? Is that all? He's your Savior. Oh, He died for me. That was 2,000 years ago. What about now? How is your relationship with God? With the Father? Not just with God. But now this God is your Father. So how is your relationship? If I say, how is your relationship with the Prime Minister or Chancellor of Germany?
Not existent.
But you know he's the Chancellor, right? You believe he's the Chancellor. And you know his name. You read it in the paper, newspaper, in the internet, YouTube, what his policy is, good or bad, doesn't matter, but you know. But do you know him?
You don't know.
Not really. People know Christ was crucified. But do you experience being crucified with him every day? You know his crucifixion that happens 2,000 years ago. But now the one who was crucified dwells in you. And how often do you experience being crucified with Christ? And it means, as Paul says in Galatians, it's no longer I that live. Do you believe that word?
Yes.
Galatians 2, 19 and 20?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful doctrine.
Reality.
Every day, 24 hours, all the time, in every situation,
this is my
more
goal,
and more.
This is my goal.
Ah, at least you have the right goal. But it takes time to reach that goal. You know, I appreciate what Paul said, although he's a great, wonderful apostle. In Philippians 3, not that I have already attained. If he says that, how much more we? You said that goal is wonderful, but how are you going to attain to that goal? Are you pursuing? Paul didn't say, oh yeah, that's my goal. And he moved like a turtle. No, he says, I'm running the race. How do you run a race? You're in a race, swimming race. How do you swim? Slowly. No, slowly. Otherwise you run out of breath, okay? Just after you go 3 meters, stop and rest.
3 meters?
9 feet. And then you continue. And then you crawl like a dog. Not butterfly. I think Corey will say, you're out of the team. You're disqualified, right? You say, forget about you, right? You're disqualified. Paul says, I pursue. The word pursue means like the same word as persecute. When you hate and you persecute, you will never stop because you're motivated. You cannot set a goal without motivation. You will quit. But Paul was pursuing. Until the end, he says, I've finished the course. I've run the race, fought a good fight, and the crown is waiting for me. Is that a way you're pursuing, DJ? Don't just set a goal. Right? This is why New Year's resolution never worked. So, may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
This is why we need 1 John, to walk in the light. God is light. Yeah. If you're in darkness, everything stops. Because you don't know where you're going. The Lord said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me should not and will not walk in darkness. So are you walking in the light? If you're in the light, you see so many things. But then it depends on the things that you're seeing so far away. If I stood here looking at that chart there, I see the color. But I don't see the word. I have to go close to it. But some people went with you so close, right? Yeah. And you even read it with him, right?
Yes.
And he says, okay, I'll go check. Right. But it depends on who you check with. You check with God or you check with a pastor, right? Check with the anointing. Right. But it's a good thing to walk in the light. It is healthy. All the living things, whether plant life, animal life, human life, we need the sunlight. That is essential for all the living things, unless you're a creeping thing. If you're a cockroach, kakalakin, la cucaracha. If you are a cockroach, you don't want light. You like to hide yourself and come out in the night. Right. But we must walk in the light. And the light will do two things. You will see the positive things, which is good. But you will also see the hidden things, which is also necessary. Don't just see the doctrine or teaching. No. No. We need to see what is hidden in our being. Right. Let his light shine into our heart. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God, right? Not a God of this world, there's a different God. But the living God, our Father, will command, just like in Genesis 1, his light to shine into your heart. And what happens when he shines into your heart? The first thing you see is the glorious image of our Lord Jesus Christ, the person, the living person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we firstly want to see. And then all the darkness will be exposed. Never hide anything from God. If you want to have a fellowship, a real fellowship with God, don't hide things from him. You confess. Confess is to be open to him. Confess to him and repent. Repent is not just to say, I'm sorry. That's not repentance. Because I say, I'm sorry, and then go away and do it again. Repentance, that meaning of the word, is to turn 90 degrees. Oh, 180 degrees. I'm sorry. Sorry. 180 degrees. Because you're in the wrong direction. What do you do if you're in the wrong direction? Oh, I'm sorry. And keep on going. Then you are not a very wise driver. If you know you're in the wrong direction, the repentance means you turn back and go in the proper right direction. Confession is not just saying, I'm sorry. Right. This is why in chapter 2, John started to say, these things I have written to you, that you may not sin. Don't continue in sin. That doesn't mean that we will never sin, because we are not always walking according to the Spirit, unfortunately. To that part that is born again cannot sin. But this body of sin and death always accompanied me wherever you go. You cannot say, okay, I'm going to leave my body at home and I will come to the meeting in spirit. But my body stays home, right? Oh, that would be great. Who could do that? Right. No, it's always with you. So you carry that flesh wherever you go. And then our soul is not that pure anymore because it's infested. Sin came in and death spread. So, what do we do? You need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Maybe not overnight, but little by little, every day you train yourself. Although John says that, this is why John says, these things I've written to you that you may not sin. That means there's a possibility not to sin. Then he says, but if anyone sin, that means everyone can sin. It's amazing writing of John. So, can we sin or can we not sin? May we sin or may we not sin? And what happens if you sin? First of all, we have Jesus Christ, our advocate, the righteous one, before the Father. What is he doing before the Father? Oh! Look at Marcus. He is a Christian, but he keeps on sinning. Father, what shall we do with Marcus? Is that what Jesus Christ? If you hire a lawyer, if somebody sued you, just like in Zechariah chapter 4, Satan is suing Joshua before God. Right. So if you hire a lawyer, what's the lawyer supposed to do? To defend you or expose you? We have the best lawyer before our Father. Because he paid the price. Normally, the righteous judge would have judged you. Mm-hmm. Would you prefer to be judged? Would you like to face the judge when you do something wrong? Nobody wants to. But you don't have to. You do it with him together. And the less you speak before a judge, the better it is. Just say, sorry, forgive me, I confess. And leave the rest to the righteous advocate. That's why you hire the advocate. And this one, you cannot pay him. Because there's impossible. How many sins have you committed? How often should your advocate? You must retain him with a large sum of money. Every day he'll have to appear for you before the judge. But he's the righteous one. He will tell the Father, Father, I died for them and I shed that precious blood. And I am the sin offering and I bore the sin of the whole world, not just his sin, but even the sin of the whole world. The Father has no choice. The Father is righteous, faithful, and says, okay, amen.
Amen.
I recognize it. This is why you need to confess and trust in him. But then not just to do that, you have to continue. To continue in the right path of life. Right. So, then you will be a righteous person, keeping the commandments by this wonderful life. Walking in the light. Then you will hate sin and lawlessness, just like he did. And we will love righteousness. And there is a reaction and always a warning within you. And you will be able to discern. And then you have the anointing in you. God has given you everything. Before God, you have an advocate. And within you, you have the holy anointing. So what do you need? Sharon, what do we need? Yeah, but he's already there, right? God has provided everything for us. And what love and the goal is to transform each one of us to be like him. To be pure as he is pure. Righteous as he is righteous. Holy as he is holy. Walking in the light as he is in the light. To walk as he walk. To love as he love. And to know him in such a complete way, more and more each day. You will never stop knowing him. The more you know him, the more it is an evidence you know life. If you know him just a little bit, your life will be just like a 3-year-old boy, like Ivanka, and sometimes even like Enoch. You say, no, 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 no. Oh, yeah, spiritually, Paul wrote to Corinth, I fed you with milk. That was about 5 years ago when I was there in Corinth. But now I still have to feed you with milk because I cannot feed you with solid food. You cannot bear it. You're still in the flesh. Fleshly, fighting, arguing, biting each other. I am of Paul. I am of this. I belong to that denomination. I am this and I am that. Paul says, you're acting like men, not like children of God, like fallen men. Yeah. And Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every doctrine and teachings of men, the craftiness of men. You know, where does that craftiness come from? Yeah. And then at the end we systematize God's word. Everyone has their own teaching and theology. That's why there's so many denominations. Poor Christians, you have to choose. When you were born of your parents, do you have to choose which family you want to belong to? No, really? Come on, there's so many families. You choose one. Choose one. Which one would you choose? Oh, the biggest one, which is the Roman Catholic Church. How about a second big one? The state churches, the Lutheran. What about the Southern Baptist? This is one of the largest in the U.S. Are you under a mini church or a mega church? Which one? Teeny weeny miny mo. Go to the newspaper. Ah, that one. You don't have to choose. You were born into God's family. How many families do you think God has? This is why there should be no division in the body. This is what the word says. You want somebody to divide your body? Put two hands there and two legs over there and your head somewhere there and two ears there. And then your fingers, three there, four there. No. Paul wrote, there should be no division. This is why we need the love. The brotherly love is a very unique proof of life. If you have love for one another, there will be no division. How many in your family?
Four of us.
Then you can have four wonderful groups. The more the merrier. No? And what kept you together? Doctrine? What doctrine? What is your secret? What is your secret teaching, huh, Sharon? It's the love. The divine life that is expressed through love. This life has to be manifested.
Amen.
Not just kept in you. Not just imprisoned in your spirit. It has to be lived out. It has to be manifested. And you just keep sin locked up in your flesh and that's it. Don't let it out. But unfortunately, you locked the spirit anointing in your spirit and you release the sin in your flesh. You do the opposite. This is the whole summary of the epistle of John. So praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, this is this love that holds us together. Not the ground of oneness. Goodness. I have seen that for the last 60 years and I've seen so much quarreling, fighting, division. And division is so terrible. Some of the division, oh, it scared me to death. No. This is the true love, the true life that holds the church and all the saints together. If you don't have that love, pretty soon in finance there's going to be another division.
The bond of perfection.
The bond of perfection that keeps us together holding the oneness of the Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing else could hold us together. Not doctrine. No doctrine of any kind about oneness can hold you together. But His life, the love that keeps us together. And not your natural fallen love, but the brotherly love, the Philadelphia love, the feelings, right? And the love of God, the agape, the love of God. And this is the highest consummation of life, is the love of God. God is love and God is light. So may the Lord give us such an understanding. Don't just learn doctrine. And I hope you will all meditate on this epistle until it is worked into your heart. I don't think I need just the Bible in front of me now. Even if you're taking a walk and you're running 1 mile, praise the Lord, while you're running, you think about 1 John. That which was from the beginning. Oh, the beginning. Yeah, praise the Lord. So wonderful. Right. This is good. Whatever you're doing, get into the Word. And let the Holy Anointing work within you. Remain in the fellowship. So, to end this, let us read a verse. I think. Well, let us read Psalm 36. Yeah. And then we close the meeting. So we can have some fellowship from all of you. Sorry for the long message today. Yeah. Psalm 36. I have to go closer to behold it. Oops. No, it's gone again. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Psalm 36 is right there. Okay. The last 5 verses. Let us read it. Okay. Firstly, beginning with 7. Okay. Oh, am I in Psalm 36? Yeah, it should be. Or am I? Okay. Okay, yeah. Verse 6. Which verses should we read? Yeah. Oh, 7. Okay. 7 to 9, right? Okay, 7 to 9.
How precious is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Come against me, O Lamb. Let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Now let's go to Psalm 16, and that's it. Goodness. This computer. I have to turn back to the written pages. Goodness. Psalm 16. Go to Psalm 16. Okay. Goodness. Psalm 16, at the very end. Okay. Please go to Psalm 16. Okay, please go ahead.
The last verse?
The last four verses, I think, yeah.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Praise the Lord. The path of life is to be in his presence all the time.
Amen.
Right. This is the path of life. Praise the Lord.